Ross has huge savings on looks that are 100% you, so you can find all the styles that match your vibe, from stylish skorts to jersey tees. The trendiest looks of the season will have you saying, "It's a yes for me." Plus, they've got shoes to make any fit pop. Be the best dressed for less with your favorite picks of the season. Head to Ross and save 20 to 60% off other retailers' prices. Items and styles vary by store.
This is your invitation to the intersection of versatility and design. Experience the empowering feeling of the Lexus SUVs and some of the best offers of the year on select models at the Invitation to Lexus sales event, now through April 1st.
Lease the 2024 RX350 Premium all-wheel drive for $528 a month for 36 months with $49.99 due at signing.
Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
Call 1-800-USA-LEXUS for important lease offer and pricing details. Not all customers will qualify. Offer in the Lexus Eastern area and it's April 1st, 2024.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on the treasure. Get on mandate. Get it on. And welcome to CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, over there.
Hello.
Will Turner from Turner Motorsports is going to be in here. A guy I've known, well, I've known the company for a long time, making high-performance aftermarket stuff for BMW.
Yeah.
And Matt's probably going to try to wrestle like an intercooler away from him or like a... coilover,
maybe some coilovers, maybe some coilovers.
We'll I already know what you're doing.
But I've been so like neck deep into that car. I was like, I got some questions and I need some answers. And it occurred to me that
that's my old E36.
46.
God damn it! I had the E30, then I got the E36. The E46 is where. Is the car you're talking about, and it's a good car, but it needs some help. And those cars are moving up in value, though. The M5s of that era are moving up. The M3s are moving up. I'm seeing them on Bring a Trailer now. They're always kind of like, eh. They're starting to knock on the door of maybe 25, 30 grand now, and and they should be.
And yours is the slick top.
And they will. Yeah, mine is the Moonroof Delete. And it's a 6-speed. And just like the M3s first gen, there's actually one Maxipata can check it on Bring a Trailer. I think there was a gray one. I don't know why. I had a gray one, and I thought it was cool because they were pretty rare that was on Bring a Trailer. I think it was like yesterday
Sorry,
or something.
Which car?
It's an E30 M3 gray colored that was up there, but those things are moving up. Everything's moving up, but why shouldn't they? They're solid cars.
Well, this car, because it doesn't run, I'm not putting any miles on it.
Yay, Matt.
Going up in value by sitting in front of my place.
So a lot of car stuff going on.
Yeah.
We just got back from the car show. MaxPass got a picture of, but there was one on Bring a Trailer, and I'm not sure. I think it's sold by now, but you can.
This one ends in about 7 minutes.
Oh, about 7 minutes. Oh, okay.
Oh, well, yeah. Keep an eye on that. Let's see if it pops.
As you hear this, it's at 35 now or 25?
35.
Yeah. Sweet. Kind of looks like my. I had one that was gray with the black interior. Anyway.
Yeah, it's a good looking car.
They don't perform really. Because they're really pretty underpowered for the weight, and especially by any modern day whatever, like any Ford Fiesta with the whatever package on it would just kick its ass.
Yeah,
but it's very Euro, it's very 80s, it's very German, and if you got like the Evo 3 engine for it and you built it up a little and you went from the 2.3 to like the 2.7 stroke or whatever and did it upright, you could get 275, 280. I don't mean full spec race, but I just mean kind of streetable version out of that. I was just at the other shop looking at putting a set of wets onto the 935. So if you want to know how my life works, my life is just a succession of
Wheel and tire thoughts.
Wheel and tire thoughts. No, thoughts of like, how are we going to film the stand-up special in Portland? And then the next thought is, when the 935 gets flown to England to do the Goodwood Hill climb, it's going to be wet. That car's on slicks. Who's sending four sets of wets over
and how
there?
How are we going to send them there?
And how am I going to send them there? And more importantly, who's going to pay to ship
right.
a set of wets? And then the thought was...
Do we have tools?
Do we have tools? And then the thought was, wait a minute. Matt and I were going back and forth. And then there was a discussion of, well, why don't we just put the wets on the car since it's going to be wet? Anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. And it's not, it's a hill climb event. It's not like a full bumper to bumper race, so you can drive to whatever you're comfortable driving on that hill climb or to the limit of the wet tires, I guess, if you will.
Right.
You know, you don't
Right.
There's nothing to like win.
The we did the what was the car show? San Marino.
San Marino,
which was
Classic.
Really cool. Had all the Newman cars spread out and Miura and 350 GT. I was able to enjoy it to some degree, but my head was spinning. I had just done my first stand-up special. I was just in Portland. I had like been riding this kind of emotional sort of thing of like nerves and fear and then exhalation and excitement and late night and we have 3 hours sleep and like literally just got off the plane and drove over there. So I was like, I was in no condition to drink it all in. It was more like I was just going to walk around and say hi to everybody. But
yeah,
I was like, and I appreciated it. It was cool saying hi to everyone, but I couldn't really completely absorb the majesty that was 10 Newman race cars sitting in the middle of a golf course.
And I appreciate that everybody went out there and checked out the cars, and LA Times and LA Weekly and Forbes and everybody that's writing articles and stuff. Thank you for sending those, because like you said, we didn't really get a chance to sit back and look at the whole thing. And so many people took such great photos and been sending the articles and photos. And now we kind of get to see it.
Please tweet
through
those.
The eye of a lens.
And also, Max Pat, I remind Matt Fondelier to like get me a cover of the LA Times or the copy of it, I should say. My dad is going nuts. It's like he's like, I got to see that paper boy.
Well, just all right. Just today, LA Weekly did their article.
He would have loved to have made it there, but he lives 6 miles away.
I mean, I will do
my dad, do Matt, my dad's place in Altadena on whatever street. I think we have the address for fun. Do the distance from the San Marino car classic to my dad's house.
While you're looking that up, go to LAWeekly.com.
Well under 10. Yes, thank you.
Go to LAWeekly.com homepage, one of you guys, and see, and like, you know, halfway on the page, there's the car collection and I think some pictures that people took of that. So
thank you. I don't know if we won any awards or did anything like that.
Oh, okay. I have a beef with the award thing. This is what happened.
All right, hold on. Let me tell you about Brush Hero, and then you tell me about the award thing. Brush Hero, no more backache, no more wet, scraped up knuckles. 100% water-powered, no batteries or electricity. That can be dangerous. Just the standard garden hose. Hook it up to the Brush Hero. It is exactly what it is. It is a Brush Hero. Starter set comes with two brush heads. Soft one for sensitive surfaces like paint and chrome. Tough for the serious muck. Extensive line of accessories to clean virtually anything. Boats, barbecues, yard tools, patio furniture, RVs.
Yeah.
That's me improvising. Great gift for Father's Day. Let's get going, man. What's Father's Day? Like, tomorrow, the next day? Let's move, man. Let's move. Well, you can give Dad his gift on a Monday.
It's fine.
Yeah. You know what you do?
He doesn't want a tie.
You get the Brush Hero, and then you get the purchase printout thing, and you can get it at brushhero.com or Costco or Amazon, and then you put it in an envelope and you give it to dad.
It's on its way, dad.
That's on its way. Use the code CARCAST, by the way, and save 10% on your entire order. Again, Amazon, Costco, Walmart, or go direct to brushhero.com and use CARCAST as a code. Get 10% off. Orders over $40, ship for free. It's a great product. All right, sorry, the awards.
Yeah, so we loaded up all the cars. The show was on Sunday. We were loading out all the cars on Saturday. It was a big feat. It worked out, took 12 hours. And then, at the end of Saturday, 8:30 at night or something like that, we're in the golf cart at the event rolling out, and I run into one of the event coordinators, planners, whatever. And the guy was like, "What time are you guys going to be here tomorrow?" And I said, "Well, it's a long night. We've been pushing cars. We're probably rolling around 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Plus, Adam's doing a live show, and I think he's going to literally land and then drive right here. We're expecting him around noon. So let's shoot for noon." He's like, "Okay." And I said, "Okay. Do you want the keys to the Lamborghinis or something? Like, what do you want?" He's like, no. You hold on to the keys."
Mm-hmm.
That was it. Great. That was our conversation. We went, we showed the cars, and as I was leaving on Sunday, I see the guy, and he goes, "Hey, man, you guys were a shoe-in, first place, Lamborghini Award, but you weren't there to show the car." I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, "No, you have to be, when the judges come by, you need to be there." I was like, "Yeah, I know how a Concours works, but we didn't know the process. And didn't I see you yesterday and go, did you need the keys?" Or you could have been like, "By the way, judging's at 9. And then here's the kicker. So then that guy called me at 11. And he's like, "Hey, there's a lot of people looking at your cars. What time are you going to be here?" I said, "Oh, around noon." He's like, "Okay, well, then we'll see you in an hour." Never once did he say, "You missed judging." Or "Hey, can we reschedule judging? Like, hey, I'll be there in an hour. I didn't know. Have the judges come back. We'll do this." Like, it never even came up. And at the end, he's like, "Hey, too bad about that award, huh?" I was like, "What are you talking about?"
It's people are strange, as Jim Morrison would say. It's weird. Oh, my dad?
He's like, "It's a shoe-in. It's a shoe-in. You guys won. The car's fantastic."
Was he talking about the Miura?
The Miura.
Yeah, it should have won. Anyway. So they gave it to a bone stock Gallardo?
Yeah, something like that.
My dad's house, 5.1 miles away.
It's the point one that put him over the edge, I'm sure.
Who has a crappier relationship with their dad? Now, here's the whole thing. It's not his fault. I would never tell him there's a car show with cars in it that are his son's cars. I've never even crossed. We talked about this thing 1,300 times. It never, for one second, did
I
think.
Like, "Hey, should I invite my dad? Maybe swing by for lunch?"
Yeah. He likes the LA Times. What other things could you be in where he would really appreciate it because he already likes that?
Well, does he watch the news? Because it was all over ABC7 and
I think if I played the flugelhorn, there might be something there.
Is there like a trade magazine for flugelhorn players? That he subscribes to, possibly?
Chuck Mangione made the cover for the 75th time, by the way, in Flugelhorn Illustrated. He's like Oprah with her magazine.
It's always
Chuck Mangione with his flugelhorn. Find that picture, Maxipata, and laugh. Find Chuck Mangione's record cover, and you'll see a man embracing a flugelhorn. And by the way, Maxipata, who claims to know music.
Oh, wow.
The flugelhorn is a smoother sounding instrument than the trumpet. The trumpet's a little sharper.
A little more tack.
It's a little smoother sounding. Mm-hmm. Did I pick the right image?
Oh, if that was you. Oh, God, that'd be framed. That'd be hanging up on all of his walls.
For once in your life.
Chuck is literally squeezing the life out of his flugelhorn on this thing. All right, so we didn't win any awards.
We didn't win any awards,
sadly. And yes, I have no idea. Although it is a little bit of a reoccurring theme where people who run things think you're imbibed with some knowledge on how the event works. Like, "Well, scrutineering's at 9 a.m. It's like, "Oh, okay, no one ever said anything. Well, that's how we do it." Yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, I get it. That's how you do it, except for we've never been here before.
No, no, he was great, though. He was like, too bad about that award, huh? I was like, what? He's like, here, have a gift bag with some car wax, more car wax.
Yeah.
But it was a great event, and we'd love to go back again next year, maybe with fewer cars.
All right. Yeah, and you guys knocked it out of the park. I knew I was going to be traveling while you were pushing all those cars around, and it's insane. All right, so we have Goodwood coming up. I was out to dinner last night, and the waiter came up to me and said, what's going on with that 935 of yours? And I said, it's going to be at Rennsport. And he said, yeah, I'm going to be there too.
Really?
So come say hi. You know, I tell everyone, come say hi. That car will be at Rennsport on the slicks this time, God willing.
I had a similar conversation with the guy that works the park counter at the Venice AutoZone.
No way.
Yeah, I walked in. He's like, hey, Matt. I'm like, what's up? He's like, how's the show going? Good. You guys going to Rennsport? Yeah.
So somebody tweeted me the other day about, and there's a little, it's not a debate. It's just a one-upsmanship. Somebody tweeted me and said, PT Cruiser.
Yeah.
And I said, PT Cruiser is the saddest of all cars because it means you like cars,
right?
But you're broke and you're stupid. Like, but it's sad because when I see my mom, my stepmom drive around her Honda CRV, I don't feel sorry for her. She doesn't like cars,
right?
When you see people in a Honda, like one of those later mid '80s Honda CRVs, it's like I don't feel sorry for that person. They don't like cars. They wish they lived in New York and could take the subway everywhere. The PT Cruiser is the saddest of all cars because it means you like cars. You just are dumb and broke.
Yeah.
Right?
You went with, I want to do something that's kind of cool and retro looking.
But you're dumb and you're broke. And then somebody tweeted me, oh, the saddest is the convertible PT Cruiser. Yeah. And I was like, But then I said, the saddest of all is a convertible Geo Metro.
Yeah.
And they were like, how about this Suzuki Samurai with the lid off? And I'm like, not as sad. Maybe rivaled only by Dylan's ride.
Chevy Trax.
Dylan's ride. Chevy Trax. Like maybe like the Chevy Trax guys must have had the Geo Metro from the 80s, like if posters all up in their design room. Like, what are we looking for? And I'd be like, how about we get a Miura or Macintosh? Or not a Macintosh, a Lamborghini. What is it? Sorry.
Countach,
sorry.
Yeah.
There's too many Countach. But they didn't. But
no.
I still say, look, I'm throwing down the gauntlet. The Geo Metro is a three-cylinder. Already I beat you all because I have three cylinders.
Yeah.
Secondly, it's the saddest car in the world. There's no way. In a convertible, you don't want to be recognized driving that thing.
Oh,
you should be wearing a gorilla mask driving that thing.
In college, I knew a guy that drove one, a yellow one, and he delivered pizzas as his job. So he would deliver pizzas in his yellow Geo Metro convertible in Arizona. And I was like, why? He's like, that way I could just smoke weed while I'm just delivering pizza, like, all day. And I was like, so what does that do to the pizza? Because the Geo Metro isn't that big.
Like, the Geo Metro is for people who four cylinders is a little too much for them to handle, but they're too scared to ride a motorcycle. So they get the Geo Metro. I've declared myself the winner with the convertible Geo Metro, unless anyone can get sadder than that. Now, people said Chrysler LeBaron, like 80s, with the wood paneling convertible, and that is pretty bad. But not, listen.
Well, you get that not, PT Cruiser with the wood fake paneling on the side.
That's true, and maybe the convertible. All right. Not beat on, new. It's got to be new. I knew a guy who had a Chrysler, whatever. And when those cars were new, they're still junk, but they didn't look like fried hell.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Gary. Gary's got an offering.
When I saw your tweet, the car that I thought of before I really read PT Cruiser is this one, which I would argue is equally sad. You like
the
cars.
Prowler.
The Prowler.
The Prowler.
The Prowler is not, and by the way, if you're going to show one, don't do the bumper delete because you're hurting your case. Now, the point is this.
Yeah, this one's the, modified, Carrie.
The reason the Prowler is not as sad as the PT Cruiser is the guy who owns the PT Cruiser makes between $35,000 and $47,000 a year. The guy who owns... Oh, it's so ugly with the bumpers. The guy who owns the Prowler makes between $65,000 and $80,000. And yeah, even though he has horrible taste, he's still in a higher tax bracket.
And he loves that cars and coffee trip in the morning.
Because this car wasn't... These cars ain't free.
No.
$39,000.
No, they didn't sticker for 39, did they?
The sticker in 1997 was 38.3, in 1999, 39.3.
All right, hold your tongue. Late 90s, $40,000 was, you know, we're getting into 3-series BMW and even knocking on the door of an M.
In 99, I bought a new BMW E36. And out the door, it was $42,000.
M3.
M3.
So that's what I'm saying, Gary. You got to be so dumb that you get this car instead of
the M3?
Yes.
I went with M3. It's saying, to my credit, I went with M3.
Gary, nice offering, just no cigar, man. The Metro convertible is the biggest piece of shit ever.
And you mentioned the LeBaron. Wasn't there like a Maserati version with the porthole side, like in the hard top?
Yes. Maserati got hold of like the Chrysler. Well, Chrysler bought Maserati.
Yeah, it was their first Maserati Chrysler
joint
partnership.
Effort. My favorite partnership of all time. Is, look, what you got to do in a partnership is you got to do what Billy Joel did. Like, you marry Christy Brinkley.
Yeah.
You go, look, I'm ugly. Yeah. I'm going to marry someone that's hot. Maybe our kids, like, got a coin toss chance of being good looking here. Right? All right. But.
You can Google the kids and see what happened.
But what I'm saying is don't marry. If you're Billy Joel. Don't marry Angela Merkel.
Yeah.
You're going to have an ugly kid for sure. You see what I'm saying? And if you're AMC, the worst car company in America, don't hook up with Renault in Europe, the worst car company in Europe, to create the AMC alliance, the Renault alliance. But now you're taking the ugliest person in Europe and the worst person in the United States, and you're joining forces.
Yeah.
If you're AMC, join forces with Nissan and see if you can crank out a decent product.
Yeah.
Don't do Renault. Yes?
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, why don't you get Turner going over here, Will Turner. I'll tell you about Castrol Edge. Tech advances have made engines smaller, more powerful, more efficient. The pressure is it's on, man. Smaller engines working harder. Castrol Edge collaborated with Electronic Arts to present adrenaline-filled driving challenge called Titanium Gamer, inspired by the need for speed video games. You find out if real or computer-based driving skills are superior. See for yourself. Castrol Edge can deliver even under the most demanding circumstances. Check it out. Watch the video. Go to Castrol USA YouTube page and watch this video. It is, if you're into cars and enthusiastic driving, check that out. Will Turner here from Turner Motorsports. I followed these guys for years as a BMW guy. One of the first guys I'd ever gone to back when I would barely go online, just go look at their parts catalog. Yeah. And I think I probably had some hard copies of your guys' catalogs. How long has Turner been doing this?
Yeah, so it's interesting. We were talking about that this morning with one of my sales guys, Doug, because he said that you called him up in early 2006 and placed an urgent order for some parts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I had him pull up the old records, and he got some spark plug wires for an E30 M3, some red wires.
Yeah, that sounds about
could be
right.
Me. Right? Could and, be me, yeah.
And then we overnighted you some E46 M3 clear reflectors to replace those ugly yellow ones, the orange ones that came on the front.
It sounds like me, too.
Yep. And then some wheel spacers.
Oh, wheel
spacer. 15-millimeter wheel spacer.
The
yeah,
wheel spacers yeah. really sound like me. That'd be about 5/8 of an inch or so, those 15 millimeters or something in that neighborhood. Yeah, wheel spacers. I was just talking about wheel spacers with Sean at the other yeah. shop. I talk about wheels and tires almost all day, every day.
Yeah, it's a thing. So you guys been around since 98?
Yeah, so we started the parts company in 93 to kind of fuel the racing part. So I was into BMW racing and autocrossing and playing with cars, and I needed a way to support my habit, so I kind of started a little business selling brake pads out of my trunk to support me being able to go to the racetrack. And one thing led to another, and we had an e-commerce where you could buy stuff, but we had a website back in the early days. We were on the internet in 97 and 98, which was pretty amazing
yeah,
back then.
Yeah, early on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
It's amazing to me how
yeah.
if a guy rolls up to the front of the shop with a van and says, you want to buy some stereo equipment, you're like, definitely not. But if he rolled up and opened his trunk with brake pads, he'd be like, I'm interested.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a little bit interested. You know?
Well, you can expect the product.
It came at an interesting time because it was when people were bringing these BMWs to the track for driver's schools and stuff. And the faster they got, the less the stock brake pads would work. And people really weren't taking racing brake pads and putting them into driver school cars. You know, they were just getting over the asbestos compounds and stuff. So people didn't want to put this stuff in street cars, and they're a little nervous about that. But what ended up happening is, I'd bring a set of racing brake pads, and they'd put them in one person's M3. And all of a sudden, that person was a superhero because they could brake deeper. They'd have they'd have the confidence to push harder, and it would lead to them telling the guy next to him, "Hey, you should try some of these brake pads. It makes you faster."
Right.
And you know what I didn't think of? I didn't think that I wasn't smart enough to say this is a business plan, but they're consumables. So if they like them, people are going to buy them again. So what started out as bringing a couple sets of brake pads in my trunk to these events ended up bringing a full trunk load. You know, my car was probably driving like this to Watkins Glen with a bunch of brake pads in the back. But it just kind of caught on, and brake pads led to suspension stuff, and suspension stuff to engine stuff. And we just built it up from there. And it's been a long ride, a long, fun ride for that.
And you do a ton of racing yourself. I've seen many images of exclusively in BMWs, but I've seen you in, seem like a lot of different classes. What's your weapon of choice right now in the BMW world?
Yeah, so now we're competing in the IMSA challenge and IMSA sports car series, and we're in the GTD class. And we're racing a BMW M6 GT3.
Let's see a picture of that.
Let's see what that car looks. M6 GT3.
Oh, that's a beautiful looking
car. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys have really, really stepped it up. What are the rules in terms of engine and capacity and horsepower and weight and that kind of stuff?
So that class is the GTD class in the IMSA series, but it's a worldwide class, which is the GT3 class.
Mm-hmm.
So all the manufacturers submit their cars and their visions of what they're going to build to try to make them so that every manufacturer can compete against each other. So we're racing against the 911s, we're racing against the Huracans, the Ferrari 488s,
mm-hmm.
The Mercedes AMGs. It's all these manufacturer-built cars that are in the GT3 category. So, this car has basically a BMW M5 or M6 twin-turbo V8.
Mm-hmm.
The series has its hands full, and even the SRO in the world has their hands full, because they got to make our twin turbo V8 competitive with a six cylinder of a Porsche,
mm-hmm.
And even the 10 cylinders, and the Audis have 10 cylinders now.
Yeah, the Audis have 10.
Yeah,
I guess they do. So 8 or 10.
Yeah, probably the 10. Lamborghini.
All right, Lambo's got 10.
Yep, so you got a normally aspirated car versus a turbo car versus a six-cylinder versus an eight-cylinder versus a 10-cylinder. So they do it with either restrictors, weight, or boost restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the goal for this class of racing is that all these cars should be able to do the same lap time.
You want parity. What kind of horsepower do you guys make?
So these make about 600, maybe a little bit less, a little bit more, depending on the way that they have the rules set up.
Now, do you guys build the engines, or is this one of these programs where it's basically like a sealed crate engine? You can't do much.
Yeah, that's a great question. So these cars come, this M6 and the other GT3 cars come from the manufacturer. So this comes from BMW Motorsport in Germany as this car. We got the car in early 16. And it's basically shows up, and you torque the wheels and put some fuel in it and start it up and go racing.
Paddle shift?
Yeah, it's paddle shift. It's got all the electronics. So paddle shift, ABS, traction control. It's even got air conditioning. And when I say air conditioning, it's not air conditioning that's going to keep you at 65 degrees. It takes it from like 175 degrees to maybe a 130 degree cockpit temperature. So it's still hot in there.
Is there an actual pump?
Yeah. So it's, again, you let the engineers at BMW go wild, and the AC pump runs off the rear axles.
Sure.
And it's got
are they just trying to get it off the crank, or are they trying to move the weight to the back?
Yeah, so a little bit is weight, but the other thing is that it really works under deceleration.
Oh, right. So you're not robbing the crank, right?
Exactly.
Right.
So yeah. it's kind of interesting.
So you got to hit the brakes to cool off.
Exactly.
I love it. Well, you know,
it's an interesting idea.
We have it's not brand new, because obviously some of those old race cars we have, you see the alternators in the back running off that half shaft there, running off the pump there. So the idea is, you know, hey, if you can run a belt off something in the back versus anything to stay off the crank, then anything that needs a belt would make sense just to shove it in the back and get the weight back there as well. It's an exciting series. Whenever it comes on TV, I'm always watching. Because it's nice, because none of the cars look alike. They're all so different, which, you know.
You guys had that iconic color combination, the yellow and blue, that seems to be around forever. That's kind of how I've always recognized the brand.
Yeah,
of that.
We, you know, when I was trying to figure out what color to paint my race cars, and that was actually when you used paint versus what you use now.
Yeah,
you just wrap everything now. But when I was trying to figure out what colors to put those things, I looked on TV, and I was watching some F1 races or something, and I was trying to pick the colors that popped the most. And it came out in bright sunlight and in darker conditions, or even in the rain, the blue and yellow actually worked. And I went with it and kind of stuck with the same colors, even though people were like, why that? You know, is there what's the reason behind that? And it was really just because I wanted my cars to pop out on TV and in photos.
Does Turner now, obviously Turner started with brake pads and then expanded into suspension and lenses and brake kits and everything else. And, you know, when I was looking at them some years ago, they had some stuff, but then have like whole engines and things like that. I do not believe transmissions and that kind of stuff. Where have you stopped? Where are you at now?
Yeah, how's the parts business evolved?
Yeah, wow, the parts business has evolved. It's just awesome now. So our website, turnermotorsport.com, has everything from general maintenance parts for your BMW, where you can save money from, than buying them from your dealer. You can buy the same exact parts.
And some restoration parts now, because some of these things have some age to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They're, it's amazing to think that that an E30 is almost a classic car now, and parts are kind of getting scarce for those. But yeah, so everything from mild to wild, Turner Motorsport pretty much has you covered. Some of our biggest categories are suspension, where we do a lot of suspension stuff, whether it's the control arms or the bushings or the shocks, the springs, the coilovers. And then the rest of the stuff is just the quick, easy bolt-on performance parts.
Do you do any short blocks or long blocks?
No. So our service facility will build some special projects and build some project cars. But we usually don't do a lot of stuff that we can't ship easily.
Yeah, it's funny. Matt's going to do a little spot on Geico, and then I'm going to tell you about
Yeah.
The E M3 is a great platform, but it's funny. You don't see too many highly modified ones like you do with other. I mean, you definitely see them, but they're not like in the, you know, in the automotive world where you just see fastback Mustangs that have been totally, you know, the Ring brothers have gone nuts on it. That E30 M3 would be an awesome platform for some to give to the Ring brothers and have them go bananas.
Yeah. I think it's because the values are starting
probably
to go as well.
Yeah, but it's weird. They weren't that much a few years ago. And I know they're scarcer than a fastback Mustang, but I just feel like somebody ought to just go berserk on one of those cars. All right, do your spot.
Yeah, all right.
Talk about it.
Geico. So everybody's got a to-do list. You're dropping off your dry cleaning, picking up some milk, and you can save hundreds of dollars of car insurance to that list. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. If you just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. If you need some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Check out geico.com.
Yeah, a BMW is a guy who enjoys Porsche and a guy who enjoys Nissan. BMW's like a perfect match because it's the front engine, it's bulletproof, it's German, it's got a little flair and a little panache, but it's not, you know, Ferrari, Lamborghini. Everything's bulletproof. Just always been a big fan of all things BMW. What is, except for the i8, yeah, with its 16-mile plug-in range. I'm not a fan of that. I went to the BMW dealership and was profiled by a black man.
I know.
How about that?
Yeah.
I showed up there, my like flip-flops and my Jimmy Kimmel t-shirt, my gym shorts, and I was like, hey, I'm thinking about getting one of these i8s. And he's like, you are?
Yeah. They're really expensive.
They're pretty expensive.
Yeah, they're pretty expensive.
I said, yeah, well, I'd like to test drive one. And he's like, yeah, you know, perhaps you'd be interested in a
i3.
Three, like i3. And I was like, I like these 8s. The black man was profiling me.
Yeah.
And I said, nah, I like this one. And he's like, yeah, we don't let people test drive.
We don't let you people test drive.
Yeah. And I was like, well, you want me to buy a $120,000 car and I don't get to test drive? And he's like, not really. And I said, what's the range? And he's like, 17 miles. Plug in, give or take. And I was like, that doesn't seem like a lot of range for $120,000. And he's like, yeah, all right. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm not going to leave. And he's like, okay.
That's kind of the car that would make a good project car. I mean, imagine if that had 550 horsepower like an M5 has in it.
Right.
It's got the looks, and it's got you know, it's got a little bit of exclusivity, and it's, you know, all carbon fiber. And
I bet the aero is pretty well tested just because of what they're trying to achieve with that range and stuff. And you're right, why not pop out batteries and engines out and put something hotter in there and see what happens?
Yeah. We had one as a project car that we lowered, added some more negative camber in the front to decrease the understeer. Of course, you get that at the early limit in that car. And then we did some software with a Turner software in it to increase the power. And again, it wasn't a supercar, but again, it looked good and sounded good and was a little bit different than your average i8.
It looks amazing. It would be so killer if that thing had a 180-mile range and had the sort of ludicrous mode on it where you could get from 0 to 60 in 3.8 or something. It'd be a killer car. It's just, it's the looks are all there, and I'm sure everything's there. It's just for that kind of money, you want a little more range and you want a little more performance. And they must have plans of, or do they have plans?
I don't know. There was talk about doing a hotter version. If there's any modification, I would imagine it's going to be more range. I don't know if it's going to be more power. I'd love to see more power, but
I would we'll be. See. Look, everything works. Everything's fast enough. I mean, we all get our sort of caught up on, you know, hey, is that zero? Oh, it's only 0.1647. It's like, yeah, that's fine. That's pretty quick. So quick. Or whatever, 5.2. It's all fast enough. Let's be honest. But it'd be awesome to plug that thing in and just get 200 miles range out of it. That would be the cool part.
Yeah, I think if they found a way for more battery, bigger battery, something along the lines of that to get more range, then that also means they could do more power because it's really just about the battery. I don't think the electric motors are that much of an issue because we can get a lot of power from the electric motor. So if they had more battery, they can go, okay, well, you can get 100 miles range or you can put it in some crazy mode and the range cuts, but now your 0 to 60 is, you know, we just knocked a second off of it.
Right.
You know? So what's BMW have in the fun time department coming up? What in the M badge department is coming up with BMW? I'm a little lost track of all the new product that's coming out. What's waiting out
new
there?
New M5 is a pretty amazing car.
All-wheel drive
that you can turn off easily. Like you don't have to do any secret code and hold down six buttons and
go to the rear.
Yeah. You push a button, turn off.
That's
the front
like
wheels.
Getting borderline to some Mad Max stuff when he hits the button for his blower. Like you can turn off all-wheel drive in this car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that documentary, Mad Max. He's going to turn his blower off. Is it a twin turbo V6 or 8?
Twin turbo V8.
V8 with what kind of horsepower?
I think it's 600 horsepower rated, but you know, every car we put on our dyno that BMW gives us a horsepower, we always end up measuring more, especially since the turbo era.
I'm going to be curious if you put it on the dyno in a four-wheel drive mode and two-wheel drive mode, does it change?
Yeah, we haven't done that yet, but now that you mentioned it, I'm sure one of my guys at the shop is chomping at the bit to check that one out.
Right? You're going to need an all-wheel drive. You're going to need an all-wheel drive dyno though.
Sure.
Yeah, no, we got one.
And what do you guys have? I mean, the great thing about turbo product is you don't have to start unbolting heads, you can just start mapping and chipping and screwing around a little bit and get a bunch of horsepower, right?
Absolutely. So, you know, ever since BMW switched over to almost entirely turbo now, or I think they are entirely turbo now, we've put some importance in software engineering and figuring out our plan for software stuff for the future. And yeah, that's right. You can, you know, you slap an exhaust on these, you lower them, and you turn the boost up, and you got quite a special machine. And, you know, they get really fast. It's amazing the torque increase that you can get and, you know, and how good they react to this stuff.
What can you do minus, you know, bigger turbos and, you know, exhaust manifolds and stuff like that? Like, what can you do just in this sort of programming department in terms of a horsepower gain on something
like
that?
Oh, like a 10% or 20% bump on average, something like that?
Yeah, it depends on the model and the car. And what BMW's been doing is, you know, they're running a lot of the same motors in different configurations. So you have a 320 and a 328, and other countries you probably have a 316 and everything in between. And it's all different boost levels and some kind of little drivetrain component stuff. But on average, with the torque, you can get, you know, between 20 and 25% more torque pretty easily with some software modifications. And again, looking at the new M5, why it's all-wheel drive, I mean, you're going to need all-wheel drive in all these cars because every time you have 500 pound-feet of torque or 600 pound-feet of torque, the first thing that happens in a rear-wheel drive car is the tires just spin, your traction control light comes on, you don't go anywhere, right?
Yeah.
So all these things, as the torque increases, are going to have to be all-wheel drive to get you off the line.
And the engine in this car is roughly around the same horsepower as what you're running in your race car. And like you're saying, you have basically a sealed crate engine. What are you allowed to do to the race car to make it your own? Do you just say, you know, we can't touch the engine, but our suspension is completely proprietary, or do you have limitations on that as well?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So the race car motor that we have actually runs less boost and less RPM than the street car, the street M5 or M6. And the race motor, we can do a full season on a race car motor, which is kind of unheard of in racing terms. You know, if and our seasons are long. It starts off with the 24 hours of Daytona, and then you got the 12 hours of Sebring, 6 hours of Watkins Glen, 10 hours of Petit Le Mans, and everything in between, testing, weekends, racing, and everything. And we can go the season on a motor.
Wow.
Wow.
But it's, yeah, so back to your question about
the car. You make racing sound inexpensive.
Yeah, I mean, so much of that is lubrication and computers, right?
You know, it's there's a huge amount of technology and safeguards in these cars now. The computer power in this car is just amazing, and it's you know, what we can touch and what we can't touch. We can play around with suspension settings and shock springs and a little bit of geometry settings. But again, the way that the rules are for the homologation for the GT3 class is you can't try to reinvent the wheel or reinvent the suspension stuff, because they're trying to keep everybody in a box, keep the costs down, and keep everybody competitive.
I like the parity part, but I also like the part where they're trying to keep the costs down. So you can't just throw money, daddy's money at it and go out and dominate, like sort of maybe in the past where everybody's got to play it. Like just the notion of an engine lasting a season, and you forget about 24-hour, 12-hour Sebring, 6-hour Watkins Glen. That's pretty insane. Matt, why don't you give him a little brush hero before we bring it home here.
Brush hero. No more backaches and wet, scraped-up knuckles. Our brush hero that we love so much is 100% water-powered. No batteries or electricity required. Just a standard garden hose. You know, the starter set comes with two brush heads, a soft one for sensitive surfaces like paint and chrome, and a tough one for the serious muck. I'm going to use it in the engine compartment. Now that I got it on the M3, because I got it all apart.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, because I got to replace the starter
off.
And the superchargers off. And the starter's underneath the manifold. So now
underneath the exhaust manifold.
And the intake manifold.
I'm angry.
No, it's not dumb. It's not low. It's up high. It's up underneath the intercooler intake manifold.
Well, I used to like BMW. Mm-hmm.
So the brush here has an extensive line of accessories to really clean anything. Boats, barbecues, yard tools, patio furniture, M3s, apparently. It's a great gift for Father's Day. Hurry up. Get on that. Like you were saying, just give Dad the receipt. Give them the print it out.
Yeah,
give
get it now. And just, I've done this a million times where you just take a nice big color picture of your thing that you get and put it in the envelope, give it to Dad, and go, UPS guy's going to bring it by in 3 days.
You love it. You can get it at Amazon, Costco, Walmart, or just buy direct at brushhero.com and get 10% off your entire order if you use the code CARCAST. All orders are over $40 will ship for free. So check out brushhero.com.
Will, how many square feet do you guys have now?
Oh man, it's almost uncountable. We've grown over the years. So
that must be nice.
That must
almost
be nice.
Uncountable.
And then where do you?
He's in a Walmart.
Where do you guys do? I don't need the most, but like, where's a region that you would ship to that might surprise a lot of us?
Man, well, because we're on the East Coast and we're located a little bit north of Boston, you'd expect it to be the hotbed because of a local area. But really, like, California is our number one shipping state.
How about worldwide?
Worldwide, man, there isn't one big one. I think it really depends worldwide on what the exchange rate is in the certain countries. You know, it was a couple of years back, or yeah, a year ago or so, we were shipping stuff back to Germany, which was pretty interesting. Where we'd be getting orders back from Germany, and I'm like, well, wait a second, didn't some of these parts originate from Germany?
But it's
the pricing, the worldwide pricing structure for BMW parts. Sometimes it makes it beneficial to shop in the United States and send it all around the world, which we can do. We ship out a couple thousand packages a day, which is pretty amazing, and we have a lot of repeat customers, and they keep coming back for more stuff. Everything again from your starter, to the coilover kit.
Yeah.
Last question. Is AC Schnitzer still around? Are they still going? Do you compete with them? I think they used to have like a Schnitzer. They'd breed, or Dinan would probably do like the M5 and a 3.5, and then AC Schnitzer was around.
Schnitzer was big in racing. I'm not sure what their parts business
was. There's two different Schnitzers, believe it or not. There's the race team, which is Team Schnitzer that runs a DTM car now. Mm-hmm. And they actually have the most races of BMWs in the world. So they've done the most races with BMWs exclusively. And it's actually pretty cool because Turner Motorsport's a close second. Only to them, and they're a German team that have been doing it forever. And who would think that a U.S. based team, kid from Connecticut, would have 375 professional races with BMW, second only to Schnitzer. But the other AC Schnitzer part is kind of the modifier and the tuner. And they're still going in Germany. You don't see them as much anymore because kind of BMW M kind of took over some stuff. I mean, you can really get a lot of.
Is Dinan still around?
Yeah. Oh yeah, Dinan's still around. Yeah,
I've just fallen off a little bit. All right.
Yeah, because you don't own a BMW.
There's a couple parked
up to Lambo and down to Datsun.
That's right.
I don't want to live in the middle anymore.
That's right.
All right. Will Turner's his name. He's owner, driver, Turner Motorsports. You pulled my record. I got nervous for a second. Okay. He went a wheel spacer and a butt plug, and we told him he didn't sell those anymore. But he insisted. And then he got belligerent.
And it was a rush order.
You needed it
overnight. Urgent.
It was red overnight.
Where's he going that he needs these?
You got a hankering. Turner Motorsport is where you go, and website turnermotorsport.com. You can go, I'm doing live shows, Thousand Oaks, Pasadena, Seattle. So just go to amcarolla.com and see where we're doing live podcasts. Check out Matt on Shift and Steer and check out him and Goldberg talking together. And check out Chassis, chassy.com. We got the 24-hour war. You can pre-order Uppity. We got the Newman doc there. We got so many good racing docs there that are just hard to find. We've procured a lot of those, so check that out. Check out the Podcast One app and the Masterclass. And speaking of Podcast One, go to podcastone.com, click the survey banner, and hit them with the survey. Mm-hmm. Also, Sticker Shock. Oh, is that? Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot. My buddy who does a new show, Sticker Shock, I introduced him to you at the Todd Mesereau. We did Jag event.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And a nice guy came up and talked to us.
Yeah.
Producer. Sticker Shock's his show. It's a discovery. It's 10 o'clock on Wednesdays. It's a fun show. They put the car. Everyone rolls their car in. It's antique road show for cars.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really good. And they get experts, and then they blow everyone's mind. They throw it up on the list, and they tell them how much or how little or whatever.
I like it.
It's a good show. Sticker Shock's on Discovery, so check that out. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Will Turner and Matt the Moderator DeAndrea saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
This is your invitation to the intersection of versatility and design. Experience the empowering feeling of the Lexus SUVs and some of the best offers of the year on select models at the Invitation to Lexus sales event, now through April 1st.
Lease the 2024 RX350 Premium all-wheel drive for $528 a month for 36 months with $49.99 due at signing.
Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
Call 1-800-USA-LEXUS for important lease offer and pricing details. Not all customers will qualify. Offer in the Lexus Eastern area and it's April 1st, 2024.
Ross has huge savings on looks that are 100% you. So you can find all the styles that match your vibe. From stylish skorts to jersey tees. The trendiest looks of the season will have you saying, it's a yes for me. Plus, they've got shoes to make any fit pop.
Be the best dressed for less with your favorite picks of the season. Head to Ross and save 20 to 60% off other retailers' prices. Items and styles vary by store.